It's a real treat that we are on our way to a live performance in our studio. We haven't had a lot of those. They will start picking up now as life little by little changes and improves. And this is a person who has been fairly regular throughout this last year and couple months, and that is the violinist Yvette Kraft. We've watched her grow up here in Spokane, be trained so well by the teachers of Spokane, and playing the youth orchestra and all those things. And then she's just keeps going beyond that. She's comparable to what would be a senior in high school right now. And we'll even learn about her particular and unique journey. But the important thing is we get to hear her play for a little while. So that's exactly where we're going. She's in the studio. A little bit later, we'll hear Paganini Caprices. We'll also hear a Bach movement. But right now, it's that unique and wonderful place in a concerto when the orchestra falls silent and it is entirely up to the soloist. This is the cadenza to the first of the Paganini violin concertos, the cadenza in D major, the cadenza written by Emile Surette, to our studio and to the violinist Yvette Kraft. And at this point, we imagine the orchestra coming in to conclude the first movement of that Paganini first violin concerto, Concerto in D Major. You heard it live in our studio with Yvette Kraft performing, and she has more music for us. So let's go on with this recital she's giving us. A little bit of Bach. She's played Bach here before. Last time, I remember a very significant performance of the Chaconne. This time, it's from the third partita, the partita in E major. The second movement is called Loire. Back to our studio, and Yvette Kraft playing this Bach movement.
Thank you.
cleansing and expressive aspects of Bach, so beautifully done in our studio by Yvette Kraft. That was the Loire, the second movement of the third of Bach's three partitas, partita number three in E major. And now to Paganini and Paganini as composer, rather than a cadenza to one of his concertos. Two of the Paganini caprices we're about to hear. He wrote 24 of them, considered the real standard of the range of what can be performed on a violin, the 24th caprice being so famous. We're going to hear two of them, number 5 and number 11. Right now, number 5, which is an agitato. Back to our studio and a Paganini caprice. First of two Paganini caprices we'll be hearing done for us in the studio by Yvette Kraft, that agitato was caprice number 5. Now we're going to caprice number 11, which is a little more sedate at the beginning. It begins as an andante, but then it moves into a presto section. Caprice number 11 for the conclusion of this mini recital, done in our studio by violinist Yvette Kraft. Thank you. From our studio, we've been hearing the violinist Yvette Kraft. That was the Paganini Caprice number 11, an andante leading into a presto, but then setting us right back down again into that andante. Prior to that, it was Paganini Caprice number 5. And my thanks to Jim Tivenin for working very carefully on getting the sound right from our studio so that we deserve to have Yvette Kraft play for us today, which is exactly what has just happened. Oh, Yvette, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what just happened. Because these Paganini caprices, let's face it, they're out of all of the 24 Paganini with his absurdly amazing technique.
Right.
Set up all of these exercises, if you will, all these ways, all these mountains to climb, of everything you have to do. So before we talk about the lovely aspect of making music, talk about climbing the mountain of the technical challenges and the achieving them. Of playing a Paganini caprice.
Yeah, well, I still have quite a bit left to go on that mountain, but yeah, for me, it's been hard because I've been trying to figure out whether to approach it from a very analytical perspective on just really trying to think my way through all of these mechanics and tricks, trying to balance that and just, you know, throwing hours at it and just trying to work through it into my body. But one of the most important things for me has been realizing that the technique really does go hand in hand with the phrasing and the musicality. So if I try to just add phrasing back in after I've done all my technical work, it won't work. I have to put in the phrasing into my technical work because they're completely integrated.
And so then even as you do that and as you have all of those things kind of hanging over your head and to accomplish. I can see in your act of performance, you're having a wonderful time at the same time, and you're enjoying the music.
Talk
about how that works inside you.
Well, Paganini can feel sometimes like a roller coaster, and sometimes you feel more in control, and sometimes it feels very, very out of control. But it certainly is a lot of fun to perform them and to hopefully to attempt at dazzling my audience, but also try to present to them a piece of music within that.
And then you opened this recital for us with that cadenza to the Paganini First Violin Concerto.
Yes.
Are you working on that concerto?
I am. I started the cadenza before I started the concerto, just because I wanted to have it just really, really rock solid before even starting the concerto. And the great thing about it is that since it's based on so many of the concerto themes, when I get to the actual part in the concerto, it doesn't feel nearly as difficult because I've already done it in the cadenza. So, this cadenza, it's great. And actually, I was a little bit disappointed starting it, thinking like, oh man, it's just going to be a bunch of fireworks. Not that I don't like fireworks, but, I like getting into the deeper music too. But there's actually some beautiful lyrical depth in it. Of course, it's bridged on all sides by fireworks, but I'm really, really enjoying exploring the musical aspect of this cadenza.
And in picking this concerto, is there a specific purpose? Like, is it part of a competition, or is it just your time to learn the Paganini First Concerto?
Well, I definitely had in mind the Paganini competition, which is in October in Genoa, Italy, and I've applied to that, and I'll find out in June whether I get in or not. But since June doesn't leave a lot of time until October, I'm basically acting like I'm in as far as the amount of repertoire I'm practicing. So I'm trying to get it up to a good level for that.
And clearly you speak of all these things from the personal, that you are very self-directed in this, but talk about the partnership with, I presume, still Simon James, right?
Oh,
your
yes,
teacher?
Yeah.
And so does he kind of slyly suggest things, or do you walk in and say, hey, it would be fun to learn this, or he says, hey, it's your turn to learn this? Talk about your process of education with Simon, because it's been a lot of years. How many years, give or take, with him?
Since I've been with Simon? Let's see. So 3.5 to 4-ish?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds about right, yeah. But anyway, talk about your process of working with him.
Yeah, totally. So as far as picking new repertoire, it's kind of a collaborative effort. Sometimes it's usually him initiating that I need to learn something new, but he will definitely suggest something, and then I can do my research on the piece and see whether I want to play it or not, and then if not, we can find something else. But it's definitely both. I have to admit I'm very good at just ramming pieces into the ground as far as just playing them a ton. So it's usually he who initiates I think we need to learn another piece sort of thing. But it's a collaborative effort. And I'm glad because I've been able to play some of my favorite pieces. And the great thing about Simon is that he makes sure that it's what I need to be doing, but he'll never make me play something that I don't want to play.
Spending time with Yvette Kraft, who grew up in Spokane, even if she's already getting Seattle, becoming a Seattle person in certain ways. But let's give a brief background to your violin history before Simon James.
Sure. So, when I was 3, I went to a violin concert. I went to Spokane Symphony to be exact, and I saw a violin soloist play. And since then, I begged my parents to play violin. And when I was 5, for Christmas, I got an 8th-size violin from Santa Claus. And actually, Mateusz Wolski had just moved into town then. And we met him at a Christmas party that one of our friends was throwing. And I started lessons shortly after that.
With Mateusz?
With Mateusz, yes.
So you started violin with Mateusz?
I did start with Mateusz. I studied with him for 9 to 10 years.
Wow.
And he's just an amazing teacher. I am so grateful for his quality instruction for that amount of time, because I was really not motivated to practice early on, and I had lessons twice a week, which I think was just crucial for me, because just having the repetition of what I was learning, because I didn't want to do it by myself at that time, was so wonderful. And he always made it so fun too. And so does Simon, but I just think it's so great when a teacher can make something that could otherwise just be technically hard, and just the hours, he makes it fun. Yeah, and I really started seriously playing, I'd say, when I was 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to comment about Mateusz, because, you know, Mateusz is a big deal. He's a fabulous player and certainly a fabulous teacher, both of which we know. But that he take on a 5-year-old kid, he wasn't, "I'm Mateusz, I don't need to start little 5-year-old kids." I mean, he's that kind of person that would get it and that would do that, isn't he?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. And then we have almost no time left. So really quickly, where are you hoping to be next year? What are a few of your hopes and plans?
Well, my top two choices of the places I got into are San Francisco Conservatory and Colburn, but I've still not decided yet.
Okay, either way, you'll be on the West Coast for one
of
those two.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
That'll be great. Wow, well, how the time flies. But thank you again for your many visits, and we look forward to the next one, Yvette
Kraft. Thank you so much.
The violinist.